Welcome to What the Bible Says, a daily broadcast from the East Abbotville Church of Christ. Your speaker is E.R. Hall, Jr.
Good morning and welcome to you and our radio audience. We appreciate so much you tuning in. We hope that you listen for the duration of the program, but we intend to speak only those things from God's holy and divine word. If you need the time, you have a question about something that we say on the program, or maybe you have a Bible question or a Bible subject you'd like for us to spend time and study on the program, please feel free to contact us at the address given by the announcer or contact me directly by email. My address is preacher@eastalbertville.org. And also these radio sermons, as well as sermons that are presented at the East Abbotville Church of Christ, are on our website. There are also numerous Bible articles, Bible subjects that you can study. There is a Bible correspondence course that you can take at your own pace in the privacy of your own home. On Sundays, we live stream the services of the East Abbotville Church of Christ. Also, every 2 weeks, we mail an email bulletin, and that contains Bible articles, and you can log on to the website. And if you wish to receive this email bulletin, just simply submit your address, your email address, and we'll be glad to add you to the list so that you can receive the email bulletin. All of this can be accessed by typing www.eastalbertville.org. As Moses was the mouth for God, Jesus was the prophet of God. You know, it seems to be typical of humanity to believe that great men that do great deeds has to come from great places. You know, when Philip found Nathanael, he said to him that he had found the one of whom Moses did write. And Nathanael said in John 1 and verse 46, "Can there any good thing come out of Nazareth?" When the people began to recognize Jesus as a prophet, it was the Jewish leaders who implied that Jesus could not be a prophet because he didn't come from the right place. And in John 7 and verse 52, they say, "Search and look, for out of Galilee ariseth no prophet." And you know, even Jesus recognized that, as he said in John 4 verse 44, a prophet has no honor in his own country. And there were some prophets, like Amos, that came from poor backgrounds and from cities that were of no significance, seemingly. In Amos chapter 1 and verse 1, when we are introduced to him, he's introduced as a sheep breeder. And then later on in Amos chapter 7, this is what Amos says of himself in verse 14. "Then Amos answered and said to Amaziah, I was no prophet, nor was I a son of a prophet, but I was a sheep breeder and a tender of sycamore fruit." And yet there are prophets, or were prophets, like Isaiah, and they lived in the kingdom's capital. But see, it was God who chose each of these prophets to be his mouth to speak his message. You know, when we come into the New Testament, the Jews, they seemingly longed for the prophet of whom Moses had spoken. And we find that Moses speaks of that prophet in Deuteronomy chapter 18 and verse 15. "The Lord your God will raise up for you a prophet like me from your midst, from your brethren. Him you shall hear." So, again, the Jews seemed to long for that prophet that Moses spoke of. At least they said they did. And they even claimed that they would have or that they would respond to prophets differently than their fathers had responded. They do this in Matthew 23. Notice verse 30. For this is what they said. If we had lived in the days of our fathers, we would not have been partakers with them in the blood of the prophets. But Jesus said in the very next verse, verses 31 and 32, fill you up the measure of your fathers. In other words, they would have been no different, because they were no different, and they were not going to be any different in regarding to the great prophet, Jesus Christ. And remember Stephen. Stephen said to the audience that he was preaching in front of, the audience of the Jews, in Matthew 7, verse 51, as your fathers did, so do ye. Which of your fathers did not persecute the prophets? So they treated the prophets from Nazareth just as their fathers had treated all of the prophets that God had sent to them. That Stephen goes on and talks about in Acts 7 and verse 52. You see, Jesus didn't fit their mold. Only the dead prophets that were long since deceased were the heroes, for those prophets spoke of their father's sins. And again, reminding what Moses said in Deuteronomy 18 and verse 15, a prophet shall the Lord thy God raise up like unto me. That means that there was some similarity that it must exist between Christ and Moses. And it would seem that while the way this is worded, it would necessarily imply likeness, one thing that we must never conclude is that it means inferiority, or that it even means equality, because it's just to the opposite. The Hebrew writer, he makes it clear that Moses was inferior to that prophet, insofar as the one in the house is less than the builder. Notice the statement in Hebrews chapter 3, beginning with verse 1, therefore, holy brethren, partakers of the heavenly calling, consider the apostle and high priest of our confession, Christ Jesus, who was faithful to him who appointed him, as Moses was also faithful in all of his house. For this one has been counted worthy of more glory than Moses, inasmuch as he who built the house has more honor than the house. For every house is built by someone, but he who builds all things is God. And Moses indeed was faithful in all his house as a servant, for a testimony of those things which should be spoken afterward. But Christ as a son over his own house, whose house we are if we hold fast the confidence and the rejoicing of the hope firm to the end. You know, even at the Transfiguration, it was God who acknowledged Jesus as his son. And it was Peter, James, and John that were there on that occasion. And they might have been impressed with the presence of Elijah and Moses as prophets. But God said of his prophet Jesus, hear you him. That we find in Matthew 17, verse 7. And later on, Peter affirmed that it was the prophet from Nazareth and not Moses that the people were to hear in all things, and for them to fail to do that would mean destruction. In Acts chapter 3, here's what we find reading, beginning with verse 21. Peter saying, whom heaven must receive until the times of restoration of all things which God has spoken by the mouth of all of his holy prophets since the world began. For Moses truly said to the fathers, the Lord your God will raise up for you a prophet like me from your brethren. Him you shall hear in all things, and whatsoever he says to you. And it shall be that every soul who will not hear that prophet shall be utterly destroyed from among the people. if Moses was a prophet, what did he predict? Well, his most significant foretelling was that God would raise up a prophet like him. However, Moses' duty as a prophet was not in writing books of predictions, but in being simply God's spokesperson. The primary function of a prophet was to be what we would call a mouthpiece for God. God spoke to the people through the prophet. A prophet is also called a seer in 1 Samuel 9 and verse 9, and that is one that has insight to things that are beyond man's knowledge. So, as Moses was a mouth for God, so Jesus was the prophet of God. Jesus did not foretell certain events because, as God, he could see the future just as clearly as the present. But his function, his duty as a prophet was not to predict world events for the 21st century, but he was to be the spokesperson for God. He came to reveal righteousness, to tell mankind of heaven's truths, and to deliver God's rightful requirements for man. Remember in Hebrews chapter 1, it says in verse 1, God at various times and in various ways spake in time past to the fathers by the prophets, has in these last days spoken to us by his Son. God gave Moses signs as proof of his duty as a prophet. Moses later wrote about a prophet's proof, of the test to put a prophet through. In Deuteronomy 18, verse 22, he said, if it comes to pass, he is. If it does not come to pass, he isn't. That was the proof of a prophet. You remember the Samaritan woman? She was convinced that Jesus was a prophet because Jesus told her in her own words everything she had ever done. John 4, verses 16 through verse 39. She accepted Jesus being a prophet based on his ability to see. And appropriately, she identified Jesus's office, position as a prophet, with that of being the promised Messiah that we find again in John 4, verse 29. So Jesus was a seer. He had perfect insight into events. He had insight even into the hearts of men. In John chapter 2, we see this in verse 25. For it says, he had no need that anyone should testify of man, for he knew what was in man. So then, he did not need for anyone that should tell him what was in the hearts of men. He made many predictions that came to pass, some in an immediate time frame, others in the distant future. He did many signs that men might know who he was. Remember that statement in John 20, verses 30 and 31? Not all of what Jesus did is recorded, but these are recorded that we might believe that he is the Christ. So whether or not he was a prophet did not depend on his coming from some significant city or whether or not he met man's criteria. The miracles he performed, the voice from heaven, the prophetic utterances that came to pass all verified his office as a prophet. He was willing to be the mouthpiece of God. So in this, he is a prophet like none other. To reject this Moses-like prophet is to reject heaven's message, and therefore not only suffering the loss of all that God offers, but also receiving heaven's rightful vengeance. Our time is up. Thank you for listening. We hope that you'll tune in tomorrow. Till then, we bid you a pleasant good day, and now we turn you to our announcer.
Thank you for listening to What the Bible Says, a daily broadcast from the East Albertville Church of Christ, which meets at 4777 U.S. Highway 431 in Albertville, Alabama. This broadcast airs locally on WBSA 1300 AM and Gospel 93.5 FM. Broadcast times are Monday through Saturday at 11:15 a.m. and Sunday at 8:30 a.m. We invite you to worship with us anytime. We meet on Sundays at 9:30 a.m. for a Bible study, which is followed by a worship service at 10:30. We meet again for another worship service at 5 o'clock p.m. On Wednesdays, we meet for a Bible study at 7 o'clock p.m., which is followed by a short worship service. Please visit our website at eastabbottville.org, where you will be able to listen to all of our services live. You will also have access to our vast audio library of sermons, debates, and every episode of this program. You will also find many articles on various Bible topics. There is a link to submit any Bible question you may have, and while you are there, please subscribe to our bi-monthly email bulletin. Join us again tomorrow for What the Bible Says.